On December 7th, all four Beatles appear on the BBC TV program Jukebox Jury for an audience of millions. In its end-of-the-year charts, the New Musical Express certified the Beatles as the world's number one group. The Beatles received 14,696 votes. The closest American group was the Everly Brothers, with just over 3,000. The highest-selling records of the year were She Loves You, with 1.3 million sales, and I Want to Hold Your Hand, with 1.25 million. The Times music critic called John and Paul the outstanding English composers of 1963, and the Sunday Times music critic called them the greatest composers since Beethoven. The Mersey Beat had conquered Britain.
One of the things, we were trying to find the next beat, because everyone was talking about all the musicals, it was in New Musical Express then, and they were talking about rock calypso, you know, Latin rock is going to be the next, and we used to sit around there thinking, now what's going to be the next beat, and we'd write. And when the minute we stopped trying to find that next beat, the newspaper said, it's Mersey Beat. And we found that we'd discovered the next beat without even trying to discover it.
1963 was a year of hard work by all the people involved, and they could be very proud of their success. But it was only the beginning. 1964 would be even more incredible. The year started for the Beatles on January 3rd with I Want to Hold Your Hand reaching number one in Australia. On the 20th, Capitol US released Meet the Beatles, which was a collection of songs culled from their first and second British albums. At the beginning of January, Dave Clark Five's Glad All Over replaces I Want to Hold Your Hand, and the British press have a field day headlining The Tottenham Sound Has Crushed the Beatles. On January 15th, the Beatles make their French debut at the Paris Olympia, beginning a three-week season at the theater. Trini Lopez and Sylvia Vartan share the stage with them. 40 curious pressmen meet them at the Le Bourget airport, but no fans. After some clapping by the reporters, John says, "Merci beaucoup." By the time they were ready to leave Paris, there are wailing and chanting mobs surging around the theater. The Beatles were in their suite at the George Sank Hotel in Paris when Brian found out that I Want to Hold Your Hand, coupled with I Saw Her Standing There, was at the top of the charts in America.
We were playing in Paris at the time, and Telegram came, and we all jumped on each other's backs and ran around everywhere. And Big Mal, the roadie, used to give everyone piggybacks. Everywhere. We were just so excited.
George Martin was with them, and they all had a big celebration dinner. He was in Paris to make a record with them. The EMI people in Germany had insisted that the Beatles would get bigger sales if their songs were sung in German. The Beatles didn't want to do it. They believed the original English version was all the people wanted to hear, as they had played them to German audiences for years.
I said, look, chaps, if we do want to have German sales, let's do it. Go along with them. Let's see what they can do. So they sent over their A&R guy, Otto Demmler, I think his name was, who was going to act as a kind of liaison, and he prepared the translation of the lyrics, which weren't terribly subtle. I mean, She Loves You became Sie liebt dich, for example. Mm-hmm. And that was I Want to Hold Your Hand and She Loves You. And so they, in fact, were on the appointed day, they didn't turn up. And I was waiting at the studios with Otto Demmler, waiting for them to turn up. And the time went by, and I rang their hotel. And Neil Aspinall said, well, I'm sorry, but they're not coming. They asked me to tell you, they're not coming. I said, you mean tell me they're telling you to tell me? They're not telling me themselves. That's right. I said, you wait, I'm coming right back. I'm coming right back and I'm going to say hello to everybody. So I rushed into the Georges Sank, which is where they were staying. And they were all having tea in the centre of the room, rather like the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, because Alice in Wonderland, in other words, Jane Asher with her long golden hair, was pouring tea in the middle. And as soon as I entered the room, they all exploded in all directions. They ran behind couches, behind, one put a lampshade on his head to hide, you know. They just did goon things of hiding. And a kind of chorus came from behind the set sofa. Sorry, George. Sorry, George. Sorry, George. Sorry, George. And, of course, you couldn't be angry with him for too long. And I said, well, you're going to apologise to Otto Demmler, because I had him with me. And they said, sorry, Otto. Sorry, Otto. And they came back and they did the recording. And, of course, they were right.